Good morning. In the song, one of the songs that we just sang, if you look at the words, there's a certain assumption that the author has made when he says, "Where is your heart, O pilgrim?" And when he writes that phrase, the assumption is that we are pilgrims. Now, the thing that's interesting to me about being a pilgrim is we don't use that word a lot. We use it around Thanksgiving, and we may use it on other occasions if somebody wants to quote a line from a John Wayne movie. But other than that, generally speaking, we don't use that word a whole lot. And so when the Bible talks about being a pilgrim, or when the writers from years gone by talk about being a pilgrim, they're speaking from a different vantage point. And it seems to me that men and women who lived years ago had a better grasp on what it meant to be a pilgrim and to be a sojourner or an alien or a stranger in this land. We are comfortable in this land. But years ago, you know, people would get on ships and sail across the Atlantic, not really knowing where they were going and where they would end up, but they did it. Or people years ago, when the West was being settled, would get in some wagon train, not knowing exactly where it was going to go or how they were going to get there. They put an awful lot of faith and trust in the wagon master, in the person that was guiding the ship, just like we put a lot of faith and trust in our God and in our Savior who leads us. And we are comfortable with them because we have confidence and faith in them. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 7, we're going to read the first six verses in just a moment. But before that, understand this, that the idea of being a pilgrim and a sojourner, or an alien and a stranger, dates all the way back, besides to Abraham. Abraham is the first. But after that, when the law of Moses was being given, and in Leviticus 25 and verse 23, Jehovah says, this is Leviticus 25, 23, He said, "This land is mine." He's the owner. He says, "You are but aliens and sojourners with me." So from the beginning, there was this concept. In Psalm 39 and verse 12, David said, he said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent to my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner like all of my fathers." This idea of being a sojourner and a pilgrim is quite prevalent. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, the writer says that we are strangers and exiles on earth. In other words, this is not our home. Don't feel comfortable in it. And then, of course, in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter says, "I urge you as aliens and sojourners," or aliens and strangers, or some versions say sojourners and pilgrims, "to abstain from earthly lust," understanding that your goal is to glorify God. But the people to whom the writers were talking, they understood the terminology. They understood what was being said. And so when Stephen wants to recount the history of the children of Israel to those that are about to kill him, he says in verse 1 of chapter 7, we'll read the first six verses.
It says, and the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. And said to him, depart from your country and your relatives and come into the land which I will show you. And he departed from the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And from there, after his father died, God removed him into this country in which you are now living. And he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet, even when he had no child, he promised that he would give to him as a possession and to his offspring after him. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be aliens in a foreign land, and that they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. They would be aliens, not comfortable. They would be aliens, not feeling at home. We can learn a lot from Abraham. He was a patriarch. He not only was the father of the Jewish nation, but he was also the father of the faithful. He was the progenitor of all who walk by faith and not by sight. He was a priest who would set up an altar wherever he went, offering sacrifices to God. God was first and foremost. But like Abraham, we too are pilgrims. And we too must walk by faith. And we too must offer sacrifices of praise to the fruit of our lips. And we must offer our life itself to our God and to our Father. Abraham represents to us, is the first example of who believes in God and, as an exile in this world, was called to be a stranger and a sojourner in this land. God's people are not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. God's people are citizens of heaven trying to get through this world in order to get home to where the Father is. And it's all a matter of how we view it, and we do end up having to change our perspective and our point of view. Because this is a hard concept for our generation to understand. Because our generation has literally driven our tent pegs into this world with tent pegs that are hard to pull up. This is how we live. The wonderful life of living in the suburbs. The wonderful gadgets that we have. You know, we're used to instant things. So we have microwaves and we have instant communication. We have push-button technology and sensual gratification. And that's enough for most people. But the sad thing is, that's enough for a lot of people of God. That seems to satisfy their desire. But Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. Our hungering and our thirsting must be towards God, not towards this life. John Bunyan's Immortal Christian in Pilgrim's Progress had no use for Vanity Fair or for his clothes, or for his conversation, or for his conduct. All of those things seem to be out of place. Now, is all that true about us? Are those things, do we feel out of place in this world? We should. We really should. See, the problem is nowadays a lot of Christians cannot be differentiated from worldlings. People who have set their heart in this life. So, we ask the question, do we sing songs like In the Sweet By and By and really mean it? Are we really interested in being bound for the promised land where those faithful have gone before? Christians once believed that this world is our passage and that it is really not our portion. But we oftentimes want to claim it as such. And that's sad. We really need to feel like traveling on rather than settling down. But yet that's the way many people view life. We are warned again and again about the love of money, which Paul says is the root of all sorts of kinds of evil. We are warned about the cares of this world that can come in and can choke out the truth and what is right. We have to be aware of the fact, to be warned of the pride of life. Because all of these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain glory of life, they're all going to pass away. But not the Word of God. Not my relationship with God. We are urged to love not the world or the things in it. We are urged to lay up our treasures in heaven and not in this earth. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount tries to set out the things that are going to differentiate the people of God from others. He's talking about the character of those that the kingdom was made for. We too must be reminded of that. We too must be reminded, like the rich young ruler, that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the possessions that he has. And there are a lot of things that, with all the glitz and all the glamour, are attractive to us. We are told, like Paul said to the Philippians, that we need to learn how to be content in whatsoever state we find ourselves. That's so important for us to understand that. Our Savior had nowhere to lay His head because He was not at home in this world. And neither should we be. It seems oftentimes that we really bear little resemblance to early saints because of our desire to enjoy the world instead of overcoming the world. Because that's what Jesus came to do, was to overcome the world. Unfortunately, many of us have like Lot, we have settled in Sodom. We are supposed to be spiritual children of Abraham, not sons of Lot. God called, and Abraham obeyed. God calls us, and we, if we are going to follow our father Abraham, must obey. So there are three things I'd like to leave you with about Abraham. So God said to Abraham, and of course Abraham listened and obeyed. He told him first, he told him to get out from where he was. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing.'" Of course, this is one of those things that was hard for Abraham to grasp. He had no children. But God said, "You will be blessed." God said, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you shall all of the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham's father, Terah, had started towards Canaan, but only got as far as Haran, and he died. And sometimes that's as far as some many would-be pilgrims get in our desire to try to serve God. You see, our Lord spoke of hating father and mother and sister and brother, and yea, our own lives also. He talked about letting the dead bury the dead. He wants disciples that are absolutely, totally committed to serving Him. You see, it's not enough for us to sing "The Way of the Cross Leads Home" if we do not understand and include the last verse, which says, "Then I bid farewell to the way of the world to walk in it nevermore." I bid farewell to the way of the world. We, as pilgrims, must renounce this world and all of its glitter, because we have a friend that is a guide for us. And this guide leads us home. When people want to be Christians, and we talk to them about it, do we talk to them about bidding farewell to this world? To get them to see a clear distinction and a grasp of who we really are? Do we talk about bidding all of our idols, whatever they may be, goodbye and good riddance? You see, Abraham did not argue with God when God said it's time to get out. It's time to go. In Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 8, it says, and we'll read down through verse 10. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." How many of us would do that? "By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Whose architect and builder is God. Is that what we're looking for? Well, that's what Abraham was looking for. That's what he longed for. You see, he trusted in the one who could show him the way. And that's what God did. And that's how God would take care of him. The second thing is, what God said was to go on. You see, the God's pilgrim must not only get out, but they've got to keep going. We read that Abraham departed, he went forth, he passed through, he removed himself from where he was, not knowing where it was that he was going to end up, and he was going to go. There's a story about a grandfather who would take his grandson on short trips with him when he was a little boy. One day the grandfather asked if the boy wanted to go with him. The boy asked, "Where are you going?" The grandfather went on without him, and when the boy asked later why he didn't take him, he replied, "Because you ask, where are you going? If you had really wanted to go with me, it would not have mattered where I was going. If we really want to go with Jesus, then we go wherever He is going. And where He leads, as the song says, I will follow." That's what God's looking for. As pilgrims, we don't ask God, "Where are you taking me?" We sing the song, "Anywhere with Jesus I will safely go. Anywhere He leads me in this world below." Do we really mean it? A traveler in Africa complained to his guide. He said, "There's no road here. There's no path. All of this is jungle. We have lost our way." The guide replied, "There is no way. I am the way. You follow me. I am the way." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Are we willing to follow Him wherever He goes? When we are with Him, We may not know where we are going, but we know who we're with. The Son of God. Our pilgrimage that we go through is not a pleasure trip. This is not we don't get on a cruise ship, you know, that has food everywhere, games and activities. There are joys, but there are also responsibilities, serious ones. There is a solemnity about where we are going as well. And Abraham found this to be so. He had to deal with the problem of Ishmael and Isaac. It was sad for Abraham when he did that. Ishmael represented being born of the flesh and Isaac being born of the Spirit, the one that he was asked to sacrifice. Abraham had to separate from Lot. And then later he had to come back and rescue Lot. You see, it is the separated man who can help weaker Christians in time of trouble. Are we that person? Are we separated from this world? Abraham was not perfect. Not at all. But he had a faith in God. He had difficulties dealing with Pharaoh and Abimelech. Even to the point of lying about Sarah and their relationship and who she was. But yet, he still followed on. And he still did what God said. You see, the general tenor of Abraham's life was one of faith and one of faithfulness. In Romans chapter 4. Beginning in verse 16, we'll read down through verse 20. It says, "For this reason it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." Strong in faith, giving glory to God. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you go back to verse 17, the Hebrew writer says that by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom he said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." And he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham not only had to get out, but Abraham had to get on. And finally, a third thing is, he was told to go home. Abraham was not sure of his earthly destination. But you see, he was more interested in a heavenly destination than he really was in an earthly destination. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 10, it says, "For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, as that as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country not their own. Something different. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. That's the home that Abraham was looking for. The Hebrew writer talks about all of those who had gone before, and he calls them strangers and pilgrims in this land. And God is not ashamed to be called their God because of their faith. We should be homesick for heaven. There should be a zest and a thrill in the prospect of going home to the Father. Every day of our lives, we should think about that. Do you remember as when you were young? You don't hear much about kids walking home from school. But there are times that when we were young and we'd walk home from school, and when the house came into sight, what would we do? We'd run. Because we could see home. And we knew what was there. We knew who was waiting for us. We would run the last little way. It's like the song says, the last mile of the way. Jesus is going to lead us. We live in a time when many people are emphasizing the social gospel and things upon this earth. And if that's the case, is it any wonder that they cannot see clearly what home is and what awaits us? When we exchange the spiritual for the material, we lose sight of everything that is important. We, as the children of Abraham, must see ourselves as pilgrims, seeking the joy that is only to be found in the kingdom that is ruled by a king, our Savior. And it culminates in a heavenly country, a heavenly citizenship, where mine is, not this earth. As we said earlier, we can't lose sight of the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We sang a song earlier, "Do You Know My Jesus?" If you know Jesus, then you're willing to go wherever He leads because of who He is and what He has done for us. And there is a home that is prepared for all of the faithful, for all those who have renounced this life, who understand that they have sinned and are sinners and they need to be cleansed. In coming to that realization, we need to repent and to confess Jesus as Lord of our lives and then to be baptized into His name, knowing that He is going to be with us as we strive to live faithfully the rest of our lives. And if you as a child of God are struggling with this life and the cares, and you need us to help you or to pray with you, won't you please come while we stand and sing?